Thank you so much. I'm here also representing my interprofessional team, Dr. Suzanne Willard and Dr. Kathy Gunkel, my nurse practitioners, and Dr. Mary Wagner, pharmacist, and I'll explain their roles in a bit. I, too, have nothing to disclose, although I wish I had millions. So my objectives here today fit so nicely following your presentation, because we, too, have a HRSA-funded project I'll be describing here. It's a nurse-managed, nurse-led healthcare collaborative. It's nursing, social work, and pharmacy, which has been a nice mix of professionals. I'm going to talk about FOCUS as the name of our clinic, and then illustrate how we work through a case study. So interprofessional education, collaboration, we've been talking about that here. Again, we keep using that same WHO definition. It's good that we're consistent in using that definition. It's learning about, from, and with. It's what we keep telling our students. Our collaborative FOCUS, the HRSA-funded project, is really about the interprofessional education of the professionals. The fact that we're doing healthcare for our population is an outgrowth from that. So our focus is really the education. So we're constantly learning about, from, and with. Social workers, though, aren't always considered part of this. They don't put themselves in the circle. Rutgers has just gone through a merger. We've now acquired a medical school. So for the first time, all those medical people have access to social workers. So we're doing a lot of education about what social work really is and what we're not. Yes, we can order ambulances and make orthopedic referrals, you know, make those doctor's appointments, but we can do a whole lot more. But so how does social work fit into the collaborative? Well, I always tell my social work students, we go way back to what we learned in our social policy class. Oh, Abraham Flexner, I always ask, did he consider social work a profession? It's always a resounding no. 100 years ago, we were not. He had 6 criteria that described a profession according to Flexner. However, he did say that we were obviously intellectual, we weren't not mechanical, and not routine in character, but he points out that the worker must profess fine powers of analysis and discrimination, breadth and flexibility of sympathy, sound judgment, skill in utilizing whatever resources are available, and facility in devising new combinations. That's perfect for interprofessional collaboration. So even 100 years ago, we were being described in a role that's ideal for the Affordable Care Act. When you look at the principles of IPE, these are perfectly matched with social workers. We're patient-family-centered, we're community-population-oriented, we're process-oriented. We are able to be integrated across the learning continuum. We really fit so nicely, although we're not always taking ourselves up to the plate in this, as we've been talking about prior to the session beginning. We really need to put ourselves more strongly into the role of interprofessional work, collaborative work. HRSA stated, the Health Services Resource Service Administration, that social work got it right first. We were there, communicating to make the system work for clients. We foreshadowed the healthcare enterprise taking shape today. So we can see it in our roots, but we're not always the ones out there doing this work. So our collaborative called FOCUS, FOCUS does mean something, but it's so lost in the history of the Hispanic Center we're actually connected to that no one can remember what FOCUS means. But we're an interprofessional collaborative practice model that uses advanced practice nursing, social work, and pharmacy. And we do both physical and mental health and related psychosocial issues. But teaching is our primary emphasis there in our primary care model. And our population is an urban, poor, multicultural environment. And you can see our colorful walls. We actually had an artist from our university help draw it, but we had kids from the neighborhood come in and actually paint it because we wanted to really reflect the colors and the energy from where we sit. We sit right near a train station in Newark, New Jersey. This is our model. We have 2 common cores, the chronic health core, which really diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, asthma, obesity. This is what an urban environment health population will see. Then the behavioral health core, depression, anxiety, lots of abuse, other mental illness. We also have a violence component, which is key, particularly in the Newark environment. We have a lot of security in our clinic. Violence, both domestic violence and the experience of violence on the street, it's a constant concern for us because we realize it also addresses stress and depression. We look at bullying and nutrition. We go out into the community as well. So we have a multi-focused kind of program. again, nursing's leading this with pharmacy and social work coming along. We have information, health information technology kind of driving it. We really tried to use our electronic health record to collect data for us so that we can then move forward as we apply for more funding. Newark, just to give you a sense of Newark for those that don't know, we're the largest city in Essex County, New Jersey. We're right across the river from New York City. All of our health indicators are worse than most of the ones across the state in comparison to the state and national averages. Diabetes is 9.3%. Biggest concern is HIV prevalence is 2.1%, 10 times the national benchmark median level. 26.4% of our Newark residents lack health insurance. So you can imagine the kind of clients that come into our clinic. We're a walk-in clinic. We get a lot that just come from that train station across from the train tracks. 70% female. The race is kind of, our electronic record wasn't doing so well for us. The unreported was almost 30%. 56% are Hispanic. 27% prefer to speak Spanish. That means our clinicians need to be bilingual. My high school Spanish doesn't get me very far. I break down a taco, burrito, and margarita. So we have to make sure our students that we work with really understand the language. Median age is about 41.2 years. We did see some younger clients. We're not really emphasizing children in this clinic. There's a comparable clinic that's located in the university we can refer to. 79% uninsured. So we are seeing a huge population there. 43% use medications. This data were from 2013. Our fiscal year starts July. We became an Affordable Care Act sign-up place during this time. We signed up over 260 individuals during that time. So the professional role that we're really trying to promote is to demystify some of the understandings about social work and other professions. Even as the domains, you know, the domains that IPE, just learning about other professions has taken up so much of our time. We present to each other. I had no idea how a pharmacist was educated. A PharmD is what we need these days. Nurses had no idea how we were licensed as social workers. So we spend a lot of time educating ourselves. And the problem is because we have students. Pharmacy students rotate every 5 weeks. Nursing students, I can never figure it. We've got NP, we've got bachelor levels, master's levels, all different kinds of levels. Our social work students are the only ones that stay for the entire academic year. So we do a lot of working. Yeah, social workers, we love our nurses too.
We do.
Yeah, but the pharmacists are great, but they move on before we get to really get to know them. So cultural sensitivity was an issue that we really had to work with, particularly undocumented. Like you had the homeless, undocumented is a problem for us, because we can see them in our local university, but there's a whole culture there too. So my case example, and she represents probably many patients that we have seen within the clinic, Martha. She was 29 years old. She came to us through the day center that was next door to us. Only 29 years old, had been in the United States since 2000. She lived with her partner, Ramon. She has two kids. She's a three-year-old that is the son of Ramon, and a six-year-old whose father lives in Ecuador. She's undocumented. Ramon's undocumented. The patient does not speak English. She has no other family in the area, and because she had the three-year-old out of wedlock, her family, Ramon's family, disowned her because she's Catholic, and it was a sin. She has no medical insurance, and her partner is working. He works as a construction worker, and if it rains, he can come in because he's off work. If it doesn't rain, he can't come with us. So it's a problem for us. Came into clinic March 26, 2013. She had this open wound on her leg. She did not understand. Health literacy is an issue for us because not only the language, but also we didn't know who all she was seeing within the university. She had surgeries, but she had been diagnosed with cancer in 2011. They had done these surgeries to kind of aid help with the wound healing and then have chemo. When the chemo was no longer working, the hospital had to discharge her because they could not treat her any more acutely, so she had nowhere to go. So she ended up in our clinic. Thankfully, she found our clinic. They found that through PET scans that she had lung masses, and despite chemotherapy, they were growing. So her mother's in Ecuador. The patient's reporting she is depressed. Her father dies with their main support, living in Ecuador, gains a lot of weight. She becomes isolated from her family. So all the psychosocial issues come into play while my nursing staff's trying to deal with this wound and what's happening with their pharmacies involved around pain management. It's a really challenging case. The family, the partner starts to drink more and becomes physically abusive. And the financial situation was horrible because as she declined, Ramon was no longer able to work as much. So if he doesn't work, he's not getting paid. Both were angry and frustrated each other. So we had this problem. We had morning huddles. This is how we communicate. Back to the old treatment team. I mean, this is not new stuff. This is the stuff of the rehab world. We get together, we talk. Every morning we talk. We try to use the electronic health record to really maintain communication. Things are happening very quickly. A lot of what I call sidewalk consults, ad hoc consults in the hallways. I'd grab my pharmacist saying, what's happening with her today? They would grab us saying, now what's happening with her? We were very concerned about the two small children. We called the law school in to try to get the law school involved around the legal issues because she's undocumented and do some estate planning. Her prognosis was 6 months. We were the one that broke the news to her because we, at that point, had all the information for her. Patient had a visit to the ER in early May 2013. She was discharged to home. We were trying to get her to go back to Ecuador, but on May 22nd, on Monday night, she got very sick and she ended up dying on May 25th. She was with us for 2 months. This was incredibly difficult for the team to deal with. Working with a social work student, I'm a faculty member, I was also supervising as a field instructor. The social work student was very concerned that the nurse was so upset, so angry at the hospital. These huddles expose students to us as professionals. Usually we're off in our own little worlds. We're no longer in silos. We're all there. Of course the nurse manager was upset because they could no longer treat this patient because they couldn't fund that. So I had to help the social work student work with seeing anger in professionals, some great learning areas. The nursing student was naive to the lack of resources to an undocumented individual, angry at the social work student for not doing more. Also concerned that the patient had a child out of wedlock. So we had some cultural insensitivity happening from that side as well. And we're not perfect in this, right? But it all comes out because our emotions were so high. The social work student was new to healthcare. So he had to really learn from the other team members about professionalization within the healthcare setting. And this created some issues for the student because the student wasn't quite sure what his role was, which was great because you could really mold a student to work in an interprofessional setting. They don't have those boundaries that we all come with, that we as working professionals have. The pharmacy student was great, well-trained, amazing sense of culture, was very sensitive, but wanted to extend life rather than deal with quality of life, wanted to try all these new medications. So we had this differences in appreciation and understanding of ethical perspectives. The lawyers could not speak with the patient if we were in the room because they could not have a third party in. But we're thinking, but we need to be there to help translate. So we had all these issues happening. And we used the ecosystems perspective to talk about the different systems that we could actually help intervene at. It gave us some objectivity and talked about person and environment. We did a lot of refocusing with the team. And we really tried to record these interventions and interactions in the medical record. But because of billing, of course, the big driver in all this is some of the barrier in collaborative care is the billers are looking for individual interactions for billing purposes, but we're all working together. We're in there every moment working together and collaboratively documenting. So in the end, we recognize our limitations as professionals by time and resources. It was very difficult. This team was very overwhelming. We felt the drain. It made us very cohesive as a team. It taught us some communication channels. We've now instituted a self-care group for case consultation among students and providers, not just about the particular case, but how do we do self-care as a team? We could all go off into our own little offices. Nurse practitioner had us all drinking tension tamer tea and taking baths of Epsom salts. You know, we're all into that now. Did a lot of, you know, cookie baking and all that kind of stuff. But it really brought us some collaboration because of that. So we really discovered that the interprofessional education truly is about with and from the professionals. We're now collecting our data. We're seeing improvement in our patient population because, like you, we want them to come back to us. That average was 3. It's up to 5 or 6 by now during our beginning of the year. We're seeing a lot more patients. We can now bill Medicare, Medicaid, private insurance, which is helping our financial status. But we've also now brought in dentistry, physical therapy, radiology, respiratory. So we're bringing people in. We're teaching them how to work more collaboratively. We're looking for funding to make it a faculty practice where we can continue to work with our students. That's it. Okay, great.